China unseats Japan as the world's second largest economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Japan reported lower than expected economic growth numbers this morning, which means China is now officially the world's second largest economy behind the U.S. Our China bureau chief, Rob Schmitz, has more.
5 years ago, China's GDP was equal to around half of Japan's. Now the country is a key driver of global economic growth. The path China took to get to this point has astounded most observers, but leave it to an economist to bring it down to earth.
The size is not the only thing that matters. Actually, it's also the composition of the economy.
Chen Wang is chief China economist for JP Morgan. She says much of China's economic growth the past decade boiled down to a simple formula. You want it? We'll make it. But how does China continue to grow in a world where fewer countries want what it makes?
This kind of growth model cannot be sustained. You have to boost up your own domestic demand.
In other words, make more consumers. Foreign shops like this Starbucks in Shanghai are catering to this nascent consumer base. But economists say that in order for China to keep growing and eventually pass the U.S. to become the world's biggest economy, Chinese companies will have to compete in their own backyard and win. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Chinese markets were liking that news a whole lot. Japanese markets, well, the Shanghai Composite Index jumped 0.2%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index fell 0.6%. U.S. markets ended last week on a down note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.1% to close at 10,303. The Food and Drug Administration is expected to revoke its approval of the nation's best-selling cancer drug this week. Avastin is mainly used by patients with very advanced breast cancer. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, our own Gregory Warner joins us live. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Gregory, an FDA advisory committee says the FDA should take Avastin off the shelves. Why is that? Are they saying it doesn't really help breast cancer patients?
They're saying it doesn't help most breast cancer patients. There are some patients, maybe their genetics or their cancer is different, who might get some benefit from this drug, but many won't. And the tendency with late-stage cancer patients is to throw every treatment at them, even if it doesn't work or if the side effects are crippling. I talked about this to Bob Goldberg at the Center for Medicine and the Public Interest. He says that if the FDA revokes, they're basically sending a message, not this never works, but more like, this probably doesn't work for you, so you and your doctor should think very hard about whether it does. And revocation is the means they have.
This idea of revocation is a very crude tool. You know, it can dash hopes unrealistically or raise expectations unrealistically.
Gregory, what are the economics of this decision?
Well, Avastin's on track to become one of the top-selling drugs in the world, and in part because it's so expensive, about $50,000 per patient. It is still approved for lots of other cancers, colon cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer. So if the FDA revokes it for breast cancer, women can still get it if their doctor prescribes it off-label. It'll just be a lot harder to get an insurance company to pay for it, and Roche could lose $500 million in sales.
So is this a message to the drug industry as a whole?
The bar is being raised. I mean, not all drugs work on all people, and it's going to be increasingly up to drug companies not just to say, hey, this drug works, but who does it work for?
Our own Gregory Warner in Philadelphia. Thank you, Gregory.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com.
Facebook, friend or frenemy? A new survey of hundreds of companies put the social networking site near the bottom in terms of customer satisfaction. Not that it's hurt Facebook's popularity. At last count, the site had more than 500 million users. And that's what really counts, right? Popularity is, in fact, the topic of Bloomberg Businessweek's current issue. The magazine explores how much we like everything from breakfast cereal to car colors. Hugo Lindgren is the executive editor of Bloomberg Businessweek. He joins us now to talk popularity. Good morning, Hugo.
Good morning.
Hugo, how do you measure the popularity of these various things?
Well, some things were very easy to determine, like the worldwide tourist destination. There are very good numbers by an international body, the UN World Tourism Organization. And so we were able to determine without too much doubt that France was the most popular worldwide tourist destination. In other areas, for example, when we did a sort of country-by-country comparison across a whole bunch of categories, everything from sort of TV show to brand of beer to children's names, in a bunch of those, like every country's reporting mechanisms were slightly different. And we also had to account for things like the fact that Avatar did not come out in every country at the exact same time. So although Avatar did blow all box office records pretty much everywhere, in fact, everywhere in the 11 countries we surveyed, Avatar was the number one ranked movie. I believe it was the only thing that was across the board the most popular in the world. I'm looking at it now again, and that does appear to be true.
Wow, the most popular thing in the world?
I'd say the two things that are the most popular in the world are Avatar and bananas.
And bananas?
Bananas, yeah. So bananas are the number one selling item at Walmart, which is the largest retailer in the world, $400 billion worth of sales. Walmart sells more bananas than it sells anything else. And bananas, we were shocked to discover when we did it, there are 91 metric tons of bananas grown each year. And if you divide that up into individual bananas, it comes out to 107 bananas per capita.
Was there any idea why bananas were so wildly popular? I mean, Avatar, I get. There was a big marketing campaign behind Avatar. Bananas, maybe not so much.
I think the thing about bananas is that they, as a produce, they ship really well. They last well. They're grown in a lot of countries where there aren't a lot of other food options.
What is the economic importance of popularity?
The truth is that depending on what it is, you know, the popularity does not necessarily mean profits.
Hugo Lindgren is the executive editor of Bloomberg Businessweek. The popularity issue is on newsstands now. And I'm assuming it's very popular.
We hope so. Yeah, we expect so.
And finally, research from EyeOpener found happy workers are 50% more motivated and 50% more productive. They also take fewer sick days. So employers, think about how much happier and more productive we would all be if you gave us a raise. Just thinking out loud. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.